You can go ahead and be seated. Well, this is a wonderful story that we've been reflecting on tonight, this story of Emmanuel, God with us. What's interesting is that this wonderful word, Emmanuel, only shows up three times in the whole Bible. Twice in the book of Isaiah and then once in the book of Matthew's Gospel. But as we've been hearing tonight and reflecting on this tonight, the whole Bible really is about this idea of God being with people. Over 60 times God says to individuals and to sometimes whole groups of people, I will be with you, or I am with you. Sometimes I will go with you when there's a especially difficult task ahead. He says, I'll go with you. Now, a lot of people have a problem with the concept of Emmanuel because they have a problem with the concept of God. They don't understand him. They think that maybe God is out to get them, right? Or that God is mad at them for something. Someone's planted that idea in their minds. Or that maybe God is this sort of cosmic killjoy who is just waiting to ruin any fun that they might want to have. One Christian writer said it this way: when our first parents, Adam and Eve, left the Garden of Eden, God whispered in their ear, I will come for you. But they didn't understand it as a promise. They heard it as a threat. And so they ran, and they hid. And we've been running and hiding ever since that time, hiding behind our laughter, hiding behind tears, hiding sometimes in our work, hiding in our toys, hiding in bad relationships, one after another, hiding in all kinds of things, sometimes hiding in church. You know, you can hide from God in church. You can hide from God in religion. But God isn't out to get us. God isn't against us. In fact, he's for us. God is for us. One of my all-time favorite statements by Jesus about his mission, why he came, is found in the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel. He says this, and I'll have it on the screen here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Emmanuel has come to announce God's favor. Friends, God is crazy about you. We hear God loves us. God really likes you. He wants to be with you. But here's the thing. Only those who know they are spiritually poor can actually hear the good news, right? Only those who acknowledge that they are slaves really have any hope of ever being released from that slavery. Only those who understand that they are blind, understand that they don't understand, right? Only they will be given spiritual sight. But as long as we keep hiding and keep pretending that we have it all together, right? There's no hope for us. And so we will remain deaf, and we will remain blind, and we will remain in bondage to whatever it is that we are slaves to. Emmanuel came to join us in our mess. Because that's the only way, I think, we could trust him enough to let him pull us out of our mess. And so when God said, I'll come for you, he knew that he would have to do that because we couldn't pull ourselves out of this mess we've made. He knew that he would have to come and be one of us in order to pull us out. I was reading a story this week about a man named Joseph Damien. Maybe you've heard of him before. He became well known as a missionary to Hawaii. Now, I've known a lot of people who have prayed and prayed and prayed that God would see fit to call them to this kind of a ministry to Hawaii, right? Maybe some of you here tonight. But Joseph Damien went to the Hawaiian Islands in 1864, quite a while ago. And while he was there, he learned that there was a small island between Oahu and Maui that had been designated as a leper colony. The island was called Molokai. There were no doctors or nurses there. There were no clergy there. There weren't even any grave diggers there. The only people on the island were lepers. We don't hear a lot about leprosy these days for two reasons. One is that it's called Hansen's disease now. Don't really call it leprosy anymore. And the other reason is because since the 1930s, it's not a bad disease. There are treatments for it that make it very tolerable. But in the mid-1800s, the disease wasn't understood, and it was pretty much considered a death sentence if you contracted leprosy. And so they were sent to this island. And in 1873, Joseph Damien's church recognized that the people of Molokai needed to hear about God too. So they asked for volunteers who would go to the island and preach the good news of Jesus to the lepers of Molokai. And they determined that the term of service would only be for 3 months. They were trying to lower the risk of infecting one of the missionaries. And so they would only go for 3 months, and they were given strict instructions to have no physical contact with the people. They were only to preach to them. And so Joseph Damien volunteered. And after a few months, Joseph realized that no one was listening. No one was listening to his message. And he thought about it, and he prayed about it, and he thought he had come to a conclusion of why this was so. It was because he wasn't one of them. Right? He was an outsider. And as long as he remained an outsider, his ministry was, in a sense, going to fall on deaf ears. Right? He knew that if he was going to earn the trust of the people, he would have to become one of them. He would have to live with them. He would have to eat with them. He would have to touch them. Really become one of them. And so Joseph petitioned his missions board to stay permanently, and his request was granted. Now, Joseph did a lot of good things in the leper colony. He organized sustainable farms. He built roads, hospitals, churches. But the thing that he's remembered most for is touching people. He dressed them when they couldn't dress themselves. He hugged them when they just needed to know that somebody cared, somebody loved them. He ate food with them, and the fashion of eating in that day on that island was with your hands, your bare hands, in a common bowl. He ate with them that way. As I said, there were no grave diggers or morticians on the island, so even in their deaths, Joseph wanted to honor these people. He wanted them to have dignity. And so he began preparing their bodies for burial and digging their graves and building their coffins. Joseph Damien told the lepers that despite what the outside world thought of them, they were precious, always precious in the eyes of God. Joseph did his best to live with the lepers as equals. That was his goal, to live with them as equals. And in all of these things that he did, he came really close. But not quite one of them. until that day that Joseph realized that he had contracted leprosy. And in the next 4 years before his death at 49 years of age, Joseph Damien shared Christ's love with the people of Molokai, the lepers of Molokai, in ways that he never could before he became a leper. One of his superiors said of Joseph, he loved those people so much that he did not hesitate to become one of them, to live and even die with them. And as I read this story, I thought, this is such a beautiful picture of Emmanuel. This is what Jesus did for us. He humbled himself to be born as a baby in a smelly stable. He truly entered into the mess of our humanity. He suffered like we did. He got sick like we do. He was tempted, the Bible says, in every way that we are. He was betrayed by friends and family like we are. He truly became one of us in hopes that we could hear him, in hopes that we would listen. I've been thinking about the difference. Remember, Emmanuel only shows up 3 times in the Bible. I've been thinking about the difference between that and the 60 times that God says, I will be with you. And it occurs to me that the main difference is simply a difference of viewpoint. Most of the expressions of God being with us are seen from God's perspective. So the words, I am with you, are God's promise to us that we will never, ever be alone. But the words, Emmanuel, God is with us, are our recognition of that promise. Do you see? Do you see the difference of the viewpoint? And recognizing Jesus as our Emmanuel, as God with us, requires a decision on our part. A decision to stop running, to stop hiding, to invite him into my mess, to our mess. Otherwise, we only ever have the promise that he will be with us, and we never have the experience of him being with us. You see? Christmas Eve services like this are wonderful. They're one of my favorite services of the whole year. We read the Christmas story. We sing these wonderful songs. We light the candles. It's a really special night. There's a warm feeling inside after being at a Christmas Eve service, for me anyway. And that warm feeling sometimes lasts all the way till the next morning. Oftentimes not much longer than that. But I want you to know, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online tonight, tonight could be more than that for you. It can be more than just a warm, sentimental feeling of singing familiar carols and lighting a candle. Because as we light the Christ, as we light our candles off of the Christ candle tonight, we have an opportunity to invite God to be with us. To say and acknowledge, God is with us. God is with me. I'm not alone. In the lighting of the candle, and as we sing these songs, you can invite him in to light up the dark places in your life. I don't know what your dark places are, but he can light those up. You can invite him to come in and make whole the places that are lacking, right? To set you free from the things that are holding you captive or the things that you're oppressed by. Most of all, you can invite him to be with you as you go through those things. So my challenge for you tonight is don't waste this moment. Let it be an Emmanuel moment for you. A time to acknowledge that God is with you. A time to claim that promise of nearness and experience it firsthand.